Happy National Mentoring Month 2014, and thanks for having lunch with me, Kelly Fair, the mentor today. I'm an urban mentoring practitioner and founder of the successful Chicago-based Polished Pebbles Girls Mentoring Program, and I am happy to answer a question from Letitia White in Chicago. Letitia asked this question: is there any preparation required before becoming a mentor? Also, what traits or character or personality traits would you say define a good mentor? So first of all, I want to thank Letitia for submitting this question. I think it's a great one. I think it's one that people ponder all the time, and I think it's one of those things that keep people on the fence from making a decision to say, I want to impact my community, I want to give back, but I'm not quite sure whether or not I've got what it takes. What do? I'm nervous. People may feel like they don't have kids, they don't work with kids, they may not have had some of the same tough challenges that some of the kids that we serve have had. And I mean, I think all in all, a lot of times people may feel ill-equipped, but that's nothing new, that's nothing not, you know, unnatural. It's normal to feel that way. And so often what I share with people when we're doing volunteer orientations for Polished Pebbles, or I'm working with other organizations, is we talk about what are some of the core things that you do need to be a great mentor. Because volunteers and mentors are an important ingredient in the work that we do. And we've got to enlist the talents of a successful broad pool of individuals who are, one, I think more than anything else, Letitia, you've got to be enthusiastic about the mentoring and the work and the mission of the organization that you decide to volunteer and mentor with too. So I think that's an important piece, is being excited, being enthusiastic, I say would be number one. Being a mentor doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a perfect person, but I think that it means that you're willing to guide and counsel with compassion, you know, needed to make a difference in the life of a young person. So there's some things that I've recognized, and also I've kind of done some research that are some essential things, six of them, to being a great mentor. And I'll probably add in some other things to give it some flavor too. So one of the things they say is really important to being a great mentor is being supportive. So I think it's very important as you take the path of working, whether it's in a one-to-one mentoring program and you're working with one particular young person, or if you're working in a group mentoring program, similar to like what we have with Polished Pebbles, where it's a group of girls and a group of women who come together and work with the young people at different after school and Saturday sessions. You've got to be supportive. So that means that you're not judgmental. You're not telling a kid you're wrong. Why did you choose to do this? You should have done it this way. It's being okay with listening, hearing out their challenges, paying attention. Sometimes they're not always going to tell you what's going on or express things, but sometimes you have to be intuitive and pay attention to details and how they do things, things that they say, actions they may take, and being supportive. That means saying, you know what, I'm here every Saturday. I'm glad to be here. I really like how you took a chance and played musical chairs, even though I know you were really nervous. I really like the answer that you gave. That was really great. I really like how you're trying. Using supportive language, being supportive, I think is a really important piece, excuse me, with being a great mentor. Being an active listener is also important to being a great mentor. So you can't always be the preachy type, quick to tell everybody and tell mentors and mentees and young people what needs to happen. What's wrong with these girls? What's wrong with our communities? You should, you should, you should. If you're in a constant mode of you should and preaching and telling others and telling young people what they should be doing all the time, you need to take a back seat and sometimes be an active listener. You know, young people have a lot of wisdom within them. And I think it's important when you're taking on the task of becoming a mentor that you understand that it's really important to hear them out, to hear what they're saying and what their challenges are, what they're learning or what they're observing. And then sometimes when you're being an active listener, when they're done, you can paraphrase and make sure, did I hear this correctly? Did you say that you're having a challenge? managing your relationship with your mom. That's important. When people know and hear that you're listening to them, that validates them, that helps them give confidence to move forward, and it helps them build trust in you. So I think it's important to be an active listener. I think it's important to set realistic expectations that push kids enough outside of their comfort zone. Do not come into a mentor relationship expecting, because now you've decided to become their mentor and you're this great inspirational person, that they're going to change overnight. It's not going to happen. You can't expect that they're going to take every piece of advice that you're going to give them and implement it right away or see the value in it. That's not realistic. That's not realistic for a young person. That's not realistic for anyone, including adults, where we're learning, where we're growing. Give it time to grow. You've got to be realistic that sometimes you're sharing information, you're planting seeds, and you're not always going to see the seeds bloom right in front of your eyes. It may be the next session. It may be next month. It may be a year from now. Often when we're working with middle school students in large groups, the main lesson that we work on with them week after week is learning how to be quiet when others are speaking. And quite frankly, they don't really start demonstrating that and getting that. Sometimes if we're working with them for a full school year, I don't see real progress with that until midway through the school year. So give it time and be realistic with your expectations. I think it's important too, and this will be my final point, to encourage self-decision making. So again, staying away and pulling back from preaching and telling them what they should do all the time. If you're being an active listener, you may be listening and you may listen to some of the things that they say and encourage them. Well, what do you think? What actions do you think, or what would be a great way to solve this problem? So encouraging the kids to do some of their own decision making, listening to what they say as a possible solution, and if it's not too bad, say, why don't you give it a shot? See how it goes and let me know. So encouraging kids to be great self-decision makers, I think, is important. I think, Letitia, you got to remember, it's a story like I tell with my great-grandmother. She was chosen by a young lady at her church to become her mentor, and my grandmother felt totally ill-equipped. She was an old-timer at our church. She was an usher for over 63 years, but she wasn't educated. She didn't have a white-collar job. She hadn't really worked with a lot of today's youth, but the young lady saw her commitment. The young lady saw her ability to be loving, her ability to support people in her community. And those were the qualities that made my Nana a great mentor. You're interested, you're enthusiastic, you're inquisitive and willing to be trained and prepped, Letitia. You're well on your way to being a great mentor. I thanks a lot for your question, and happy National Mentoring Month.